Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey everybody, welcome to HR Latte. This is Rayanne Thorne, your host. I'm very excited to continue my series on Recruiters Go Tech or Talent Management Goes Tech. I've been speaking with founders of HR technology companies as well as individuals that have worked as practitioners, HR professionals, recruiters, hiring managers that have moved into the dark side, as I've been calling it, lovingly, because I'm there too, and have moved from a practitioner to the dark side and worked as an HR technology professional. And to that end, I have invited a really special person. If you have not met Perry or followed her, any of her writings, any of the work that she's done, please make sure you do that. You can follow her on Twitter at BeTheButterfly. We're talking to Perry Blake Gorman. Hey, Perry, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Rianne. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you.
So Perry and I have a funny story.
we started with that?
Yeah, we're going to start with it because I think we've moved way beyond that. But you never know who will be your friend in life. And sometimes you meet somebody and neither one of you are either on your best behavior or feeling the best about who you are or where you are. And sometimes you rub each other the wrong way. And that definitely happened for Perry and I. But I'm glad that we stuck it out and got to this place where we are now. Perry, I have an immense amount of respect for you and for what you're doing and for how you have moved through life and through the changes that have happened to you personally as well as in business. And we're not talking personal today. We can do that on another show. As a matter of fact, I think we did do that on another show. But we're going to talk about what you have achieved as somebody who was a very successful executive recruiter. And I think you worked in the financial space. Is that correct? Or was it in IT?
Yeah, no, financial services. So all
financial services.
Yeah.
Okay. And moved. Great. And then moved into launching a couple of different tech companies. So why don't we kick it off? And before we do that, I want to remind everybody that HR Latte is brought to you by Dovetail Software. If you want to find out more about what Dovetail does, please visit our website at dovetailsoftware.com. And also, if you're interested or going to be at SHRM, we are hosting, along with Quantum Workplace and Broadbean Technology, who recently joined us as a sponsor, a poetry slam at SHRM. If you want more information about that, you can tweet me or check out No Kid Hungry. We have a donation page there. All of the proceeds will go to No Kid Hungry. So we'll see you at SHRM in about a week and a half. Perry, give us an intro about you and what you've done. Maybe tell us a little bit about Unroll Me as well as Archively.
Okay, so well, you introduced me that I come from executive search, and I did. I did 13 plus years recruiting sales and traders on Wall Street in New York, Hong Kong, and around the world. And I come from a sourcing background. You know, I started doing sourcing back in like 1998 when people weren't on the internet. So we did all kinds of fun things, you know, like browsing through phone directories and, you know, rusing and kind of breaking down organizations. So I come from all the way back that in recruiting. Lord, how did I get into tech? 2008, I was living in Hong Kong. I was about to make partner at my company. And, you know, if you remember 2008, financial services wasn't so hot. And I just was done. I took a couple of years off. I decided I didn't want to take partner and kind of shackle myself to a dying market, and took some space and time away from the business. Strangely enough, like, I fell in love with tech through getting involved on social media and then, like, a lot of people asking me to test their products, like, as an influencer. And so I started seeing, like, a lot of things, and particularly Twitter apps, because Twitter was always my thing. And as you beta test for people, you have the experience of kind of saying, oh, you know, this button shouldn't be there, or it'd be really cool if it did this. And the experience of working with engineers to kind of change the things in the app that, you know, I had never had that experience before, right, as a recruiter. You know, somebody gives you some piece of technology and you use it for 10 years. So I'd never had that experience before, and it was really cool. So when I moved back to New York, I did go back to recruiting because it's the fastest money you can make.
Sure.
And I decided, like, okay, this is going to be temporary because I don't want to do financial services anymore. I was either going to build a recruitment tech business, which would have taken a year anyway, or I was going to, you know, say, how can I scale myself? And so I had started thinking about Archively, but in the meantime, I had the idea for Unroll Me, and Unroll Me kind of just happened. And if you don't use Unroll Me, I'm sorry for you. Your email is probably terrible.
just give us a brief elevator pitch for what Unroll Me is.
Unroll Me is an email unsubscribe engine that basically lets you unsubscribe from anything that's any newsletters or anything that's in your mailbox. And if you don't want to unsubscribe from everything, you can get a one daily email with all of your newsletters in it. So it's pretty awesome. And it got acquired by Slice/Rakuten back in September. And my co-founders are still working on it. So that one's great. It was great to do that because I meet a lot of people and they're like, oh my God, I love that. And that actually made me
they
really
recognize
well, that's what makes
it.
Me really happy. Yeah. Well, no, that people love it, right? Like that's
they've
what's
used
awesome
it
about
and
building
love it.
Tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
tell us about
Archively. So when I started thinking about, I thought about a lot of different ideas in recruitment for, like, that I could have built or wanted to build. In fact, like, I was talking to Tom Leung from Poachable. I had an idea about something similar. I think what he's doing is great. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a membership side engineering, like where engineers can come and say like they might be interested in leaving but not really give a lot of information to employers. Like it's kind of a multi-level privacy job connector. I didn't have the developer relationships to build something like that, so I decided not to do it. But I had something similar back then. But I thought about a lot of things in terms of like what was I going to build. And when you look at the problem in recruiting today, I believe that a lot of people are solving problems that are really just symptoms of by other technology. And so I wanted to build something that was like...
It's been my standing tagline for this show. If you aren't solving a problem, you're creating one.
Well, yeah, mostly. And I think that like a lot of people who build in this space sort of have this fundamental problem that with like recruiters themselves, and that recruiters are bad and need to be gotten rid of. And I don't believe that at all. I don't think that you solve problems in a people business by removing people. I think that people need to become better at dealing with people in order to have less problems in a people business. And I think actually the more tools and tech that you give recruiters to do their job where they don't have to actually know how to do it, the worse recruitment gets. All of the problems that we're talking about today have to do with, like, mostly, I mean, people have problems with the fact that people don't know how to read resumes or understand what people do anymore, and that's because they're not talking to enough people. They're relying on online profiles. And then the second thing is engagement. Like, yeah, you have the ability to spam, like, thousands of people and whatnot, which, you know, used to not be the case. And so all of these things are technology-enabled problems, and I think that my view is that you kind of have to get back to basics.
Right.
So that's the philosophy that like I moved into building Archively, which is a very simple tool, by the way. Archively is not rocket science. It's a workflow tool.
Okay, so tell us, what problem does it solve? So workflow tool, what problem does it solve for recruiters? Okay.
So it solves a couple of things. Number one, I'm a big fan of like actually having something to show that I do. So if you're paying for the privilege of searching other people's data, whether it's LinkedIn or Intello or other search engines, if you're out there doing Boolean strings and you're all over the web, you're doing this day in and day out, and another 20 recruiters in your organization are also doing this. When you talk to a lot of people, they don't have anything to show for that work. They're using spreadsheets. They're using old CRMs. They're just not capturing the online data that's there. And personally, I think that, you know, you have to start from a place of capturing your work and understanding the market mapping of candidates in the pools that you're working in order to have a chance of running a good process. And so, by the way, let me just also say, I am only talking about proactive recruitment. I am not talking about job boards and applicants because I don't even touch that side. I think that side is very well handled by many different technologies, and we can capture resumes beautifully off a job board. I think
you're not trying to conquer the world, Perry. You're not trying to conquer the world.
If it were me, I would shut down all job boards.
Oh, so, here we go.
Well,
I guess it's a good thing you didn't call
in
when Kelly Robinson was on the show last week, earlier this week.
Why was she all about job boards?
No, Kelly is he's the founder of Broadbean, which is all about job posting distribution from job boards.
So to me, when you talk about job posting distribution, all I think about is how many inappropriate resumes someone is going to have to sit there and go through.
That's for sure.
So to me, I don't think that helps anything. By the way, it also totally impersonalizes the job search for people because they never actually, you know, who wrote a great post about this is Amy Beth Quinn from HP. She just wrote about, I don't know, maybe I can send it to you and you can post it, but she just wrote a post about
that'd be great.
And about how just totally ridiculously impersonal it is because there just isn't enough manpower. Like the amount of spread that you get on a job posting, there just isn't enough manpower to actually go through everyone that applies. And so people have a hard time getting through. Hence, it's going to be more important to have agency recruiters in the future. Anyway, I think it's just all going to go full circle, personally. So where were we? Oh, proactive recruitment. So people are paying a fortune, organizations are paying a fortune for the privilege of searching other people's data. And the way that they're justifying the cost of these things is by looking at cost per hire and cost, like, of replacing a recruiter with better technology, so to speak. And I think that's really dangerous. I really do. I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous to think about things that way because ultimately your organization is going to be on the back foot the whole time. So Archively is a practice. It's about having a proactive recruitment practice that is diligent, where people still have to do some research. We do automate things and we make it a lot easier, but we're not trying to take away the brain of the recruiter to look at what's relevant and what's important and capture what's relevant. And then the other piece is the collaboration, which, you know, we've really lost a sense of collaboration with online research and sourcing and even outreach because there just isn't a lot of visibility. I mean, when I see companies like Apple send a candidate the same email from three different recruiters, you have to think, like, wow, what is wrong with this picture? And so I think there's a lot of a general lack of transparency, a general lack of collaboration. I think all of the HR tech tools are generally behind a wall. There are a couple of ATSs that are out now which are trying to have more cross-organizational collaboration on the interview process, like Greenhouse. I love what they're doing. But we're sort of on the, like, pre-engagement side, which is, like, if you're mapping a market, why wouldn't you share all of that research with the hiring team before you even send an email in order to, like, really strategize about how you're going to engage these people? And so those are the things that, like, people are doing with Archively.
I love it, Perry.
So the feedback you get is not very metric-based. It's very, like, oh, Archively is helping us build trust with the business that we work with. Or, like, Archively humanizes the recruitment process for us. Or, like, I love it, and I can't imagine working without it. Like, that's the kind of stuff that people say.
Love that kind of feedback. You know, that's so important. How is it benefiting the organization? It sounds like it's a very tangible benefit. It's not something that we have to wait for numbers at the end of the month. We're actually developing relationships and moving forward. It's creating better engagement opportunities. And that's what it's all about, really, because we know all this technology that over the years we've said, oh, it brings us together, right? And of course it does in some ways. but it also keeps us apart. It keeps us from engaging. It keeps us from really having those meaningful conversations that lead to a productive relationship, whether it's a personal relationship or indeed a business relationship. Perry, you've had a lot of experience doing this, moving away from being a practitioner and really developing products that benefit a specific industry, whether it's anybody who uses email or a specific industry that would include HR professionals that are trying to build up staffing or recruiters who are trying to benefit their clients that they work for. So when you think about your time shifting from a practitioner to an HR techie, if you will, somebody who launches a tech company, what's the most important thing that you remembered or that HR pros and recruiters should remember moving forward when selecting a technology company, when they're selecting a specific vendor? You, as having been a practitioner and making these choices to develop products that benefit, what should other HR pros and practitioners remember when they're making that selection?
I'll just give you really honest. I think you should care very deeply what the founding team's true motivations, intentions, and beliefs and values are in this space personally. Because to me,
love that.
This is a space that pumps out a lot of technology in a very like, oh, we are venture-backed SaaS product, and you know, they come and they dominate the market, and like, let's just use Taleo as an example. They were like a Silicon Valley success story, and now they're like a carcass of code that was bought for $2 billion, and people are left with this total piece of crap. And that is, to me, the reason why there isn't a lot of innovation in the space, because it's so easy to build a company and sell it this is definitely not easy, but there is this trend towards like, just build the thing, get it acquired, and then do it again. And like that, I personally think that's why there's not a lot of innovation. I don't think the people that are building tech in this space actually know it or care, to be honest.
And that's so unfortunate. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this series, to highlight and spotlight individuals like yourself that came from the space, that do care about developing products that benefit, do not hinder, do not cause more problems. And what's the motivation behind you as somebody who was a practitioner? So if you were to sit down and talk to somebody that has a great idea, they are a practitioner, what kind of advice would you give them as a practitioner who has an idea and maybe isn't a technologist themselves? They just have a great idea. Any type of advice that you could offer to an individual like that?
Don't do it. just don't.
That's like, awesome.
I mean, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And it's like learning an entire new thing, right? I mean, sure, I'm an amazing recruiter, but like building a technology company is like a totally different thing, right? But I did that for myself because I was also like I needed something else. I wanted to be able to scale my experience, and I couldn't do that as an individual recruiter. If you are really so my experience with people with ideas is generally like they have an idea, but they're not willing to like walk away from their entire life to do it. And I think that like unless you are willing to focus 100% and figure out whatever you need to do it, then don't even bother, because you're never going to like it just doesn't work. Yeah, it just doesn't work.
That's exactly Kelly said a couple days ago, is you have to focus. You have to focus on what you're doing and not try and do too many things.
Well, look, when I just first came up with the idea for Archivaly, I didn't even start Archivaly for like 8 months after I really kind of had the idea for it, because it took me a while to like figure my shit out. But I was still kind of helping with Unroll Me. I still was recruiting. I had all this stuff, and I had dinner with someone and told him about this, and he's like, that's the one. He's like, that's the one you work on. He's like, quit everything else and just move out to California and just go do it. And I was like, really? And he's like, yep. And I was like, okay. And I quit my job like a month later. And I mean, hey, listen, I already quit my job once. After you quit your job once, you're to quit the job. So if you haven't quit your job yet, just quit your job. That's the first step.
So we're talking
really fast.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. Talking to Perry Blake Gorman today on HR Latte, continuing my series on practitioners or talent management goes tech. You can find Perry on Twitter at Be the Butterfly. Perry, I think I know the story behind the Twitter handle. Can you tell us the story behind the Twitter handle, Be the Butterfly?
Oh, yeah. You know, that was in my job quitting days. So, you know, this was when I thought, like, everyone should quit their job and, like, do what they love in life. And I was going to be a coach for, like, a hot minute in Hong Kong, which was, like, selling psychiatry. So that didn't work out very well. But it kind of got me to, like, think about marketing. And so when I had this quote, actually, that got me through a lot of really hard times. It was like a magnet on my fridge, which was just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. I had these, like, serious Groundhog Day moments when I was in Hong Kong, like, where every day was, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Groundhog movies, funny film.
Absolutely.
And I just was, like, oh, my God, like, is this my life forever? And I just no, just gotta keep going. This is terrible. And so that quote always kind of reminds me that like, even when you can't see it, it's there. Like, you just gotta keep going through it. And so that's where Be the Butterfly came from. And you
love
know
it.
That was back when it was cool to have, like, a, you know, weird name as your thing as opposed to your name. So, and now I have, like, 26,000 followers, so I'm not changing it. So,
no, do not change that. It. No, you hang on to that. Congrats on all the followers. So let's shift gears a bit and talk about success, right? A lot of failure comes with success, right? And we learn so much from failure and how to get to that place of success. Why do you think tech companies fail today? There's so much opportunity, right? And we have great marketing opportunity, advertising opportunity to promote the hell out of your product. Is it where do you think, if you could pinpoint something for us? I've asked this to every one of my guests for this series, so I would love to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons to fail. If you've ever read Outliers, like, there's a whole chapter about air crash disasters. And, like, air crash disasters are not, like, usually one major thing. It's, like, a multitude of, like, tiny things and decisions that just went wrong and then the plane crashes. I actually
the
think
perfect
startups
storm.
Are kind of like that, in the sense that, like, especially early stage, I mean, like, every single decision you make could be the life or death of your company. And so, like, you kind of have to make good decisions. But also, personally, I think it is just pure will. I think that people quit. I really do. I think people, like, run out of money, and I think they think that, like, I think a lot of people, when they run out of money, they're like, I'm done. I think that
That's
when shit happens with your team, I think people quit. I just think people quit. I mean, there are a lot of reasons for failure, but in general, like, if I had to get down to the bottom of it, I think it's people quit. And I think people quit because they weren't doing it for a good enough reason in the first place.
So, everybody that I've asked that question to has said, don't quit, right? When we talk about how you get to a point of success, it's the man who wins is the man who thinks he can and never gives up. You just keep going.
Well,
it's all about tenacity.
What do you think success is, too, right? Like, it's also about success. You know, like, I've actually been reflecting on this quite a lot recently because, you know, I think that when you're in tech, you sort of get sucked into this idea of Silicon Valley success, of, like, what a company looks like, about what it's supposed to do, about how you're supposed to build it, about how you're supposed to, and I think people get really caught up in that. I'm totally guilty of it myself, and I think that there's a lot of ways to get to the same path, and you have to be just really clear about what your goal is. And so Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. And I think,
yeah,
I'll give you an example.
Right?
Like, when Unroll.me got acquired, like, getting a startup acquired is, like, you know, something that people, like, obviously work for in tech, and they, like, think it's exciting. And I will tell you that it was the most unexciting blip on the radar. Sure, it was nice to get money in the bank, but it was actually really not very exciting.
Yeah.
And so, like, in my life, I've learned that, like, when you get to the top of the mountain, it's not actually very exciting. It's more exciting when you're doing it. So, therefore, you should like doing it.
Yeah, it's so important, right?
Yeah.
That's a great story, right? And it's a great example of, and we've watched it of, you know, if you're fighting for that day of acquisition, you know, if that's the purpose. If it's just to develop something that can be bought by somebody else, right? And you're expecting that to be the perfect day, right? The perfect time. I think you're over expecting what it will be like. And you know, I've been through that personally. I've watched friends go through it where, you know, they've spent so much time developing a product and company and loving it, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone and somebody else is in charge. It's hard to let go of that also, but you know, you have to decide what's the purpose of developing this company. Is it to change an industry? Is it to have a space for me? Is it to become acquired? What's the purpose? Is it to make a lot of money? Right? And then once you define the purpose, I think it gives you a better understanding of expectations and outcomes. And you can't always expect the exact same outcome each time, or know that an outcome might even happen. It might just fizzle if you give up, right? It's all about, like you said earlier, tenacity. Perry, it's been so great having you on the show, and I knew this would go so quickly, but when you consider yourself, you, Perry, as a service provider, as a provider of thought, a provider of consultation, somebody who provides a service on behalf of Archively or on behalf of Perry herself, you as an individual, what are some things that you do? If you could tell us maybe three key things that you do to ensure that you are doing your job for your clients, for yourself, for your organization, for your employees, the best way possible, the most effective, most efficient way possible.
Oh, my God. That is a crazy question. What do I do? Well, first of all, you know, I mean, just as an aside, like, I do a ridiculous amount of personal work, like, ridiculous. And that's to, like, stay super clear, right? Like, so that, like, I can keep my ego out of things, like, so I can keep, like, drama, so I'm not, like weighed down by negative energy. Like, I just keep my personal self, like, super clear. I don't even really drink anymore. So I'm like on a, like, personally, I keep myself like a clear channel so I can operate really effectively and efficiently and move fast. That's number one. Number two, I am like a ruthless prioritizer. And so what that means is that, like, yeah, I have, like, a triage of how I make decisions, and it's usually, like, money, like, meaning, like, we need money to, like, run the company. So it's either, like, customer money, or is this going to get us more investor money, or is this going to make more people use the product, or is this going to make people use the product more? And, like, is it in line with my core values of, like, what I care about for the market and the industry? So I keep to that, and basically anything that doesn't hit those things is kind of not really important. So in order to, like, keep things moving forward. And I care deeply about my customers. Like, if you talk to anyone, like, we're really crazy about support and, like, answering questions and helping people set up and, like, projects. And I really like to, like, front load in general. Like, if you've ever met me, like, you know that I get to know you very quickly because I call that, it's front loading. And so, like, it's front loading,
yeah.
So we can, like, connect and we can get in and whatever, and then, you know,
and
we
move
not
forward.
Offer.
And then move forward.
Yeah, but that we don't tiptoe around, like, getting in there, that we really like connect up front. And so I'm very like I have that, I hold that philosophy with our customers too, like heavy front loading.
I love that. I think one of the greatest things you've said today is to really understand and find out about the motivation behind the executive team at an organization where you might be considering purchasing a product or investing in an organization. So any other last words of wisdom that you could provide today for our listeners?
You know what? I've actually been talking to, because I'll tell you, Archively is more like a vitamin than a painkiller. And in tech, they tell you to build painkillers, not vitamins. And I think painkillers are dumb because I think painkillers don't really solve problems. I think they make you feel like you don't really have a problem. And then like, oh, by the way, the painkiller wore off and now you really have a problem. And so I think that the thing that I would say to organizations is the tech you're using making your people better at what they do, fundamentally, skill-wise, and with people? Because people is a practice. You don't become a better recruiter by not talking to people and not interviewing people and not looking at a lot of resumes. You become a great recruiter and have a great recruitment organization when your people are actually doing the work. Like when your people have talked to so many people that they can be like, you know what, I've seen this before and this guy is not going to accept the offer because I have a feeling about it and I think that he's shopping it and blah, blah, blah. Like it's that kind of stuff that makes recruiters good. And if you start trying to take that those touch points away from them and put technology in between and you're putting technology in more in between the business and the recruiters, like where they're not interacting, these are the things that actually end up breaking down and keep companies on the back foot in a constant reactionary recruitment process, which is when I see them and they're like, yeah, you know, we're moving so fast and we're reacting and like, you know, we just can't keep up. And I'm just like, okay, well, let me know when you don't want to do that anymore. And like when you're ready to like actually be proactive and stop for a second so that like, you know, you can get out of this cycle that you're in. And that's where I come in.
I love it. It's been so great to have you on the show. Thanks for sharing your experiences, for giving some really great advice. This is my favorite part of the show. I get to do, I've called it over and over again, my selfish part of the show. I ask my guests a couple of quick hit favorites. And this is how I learn. This is how I find out new places. I just found out a new Indian place last week to eat at in locally to me. So I am going to give you a couple of quick hit questions, and if you could just share some of your favorites that in response. Are you game?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food. Do you know, like, my favorite food is, like, french fries? you could put a piece of chocolate cake in front of me, but if you put, french fries in front of me before a piece of chocolate cake, like, I would pass up the chocolate cake like that.
I think I've come to a place in my life where I would take the fries over the cake. So where are the best fries you've ever had?
I don't know. I think they're one of those like palm freak places, you know, where they hand cut them and then they've got all those different aioli sauces.
Yeah, I love that. I
know,
I had some crazy fries in what do they call it? Poutine. Have you ever had that in Montreal?
Oh, my God.
They're French fries that are covered with gravy and sauce.
There's a place in San Francisco called the Salt House that has amazing poutine.
Oh, it's insane. Okay. Your favorite book. Now, this could be something that you're reading now or something that you've read in the past that has been inspiration. You mentioned Outliers.
Yeah, I like Outliers. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a favorite. I do like Malcolm Gladwell, though. I like the way he thinks and the way he tells stories. I read a lot of, I'm a tech founder. I should be reading, more tech books, but I don't. I read things like Pema Chodron, When Things Fall Apart. I read On Becoming an Alchemist. I read Wake Up to Your Life. I read these, super hardcore, Buddhist books. That's what I read.
Okay. Yeah. And your favorite place? Where's your favorite place
Bali.
In the world?
Bali.
Oh, Bali. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I spent a lot of time there when I was in Hong Kong. It's super magical. There's something about that place. There's something about the people. It's like the most unique, energetic place I've ever been in my life. And I don't know. It's like my soul is at home when I'm there. So I try and go at least, you know, once a year or something.
And last but not least, and we've received some interesting responses to this one, what's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing to do is probably not appropriate for the show.
Yeah, I figured.
You know.
I kind of knew what you were going to answer, Perry.
Karaoke.
And, oh, man, if you ever have, listeners, if you ever have the opportunity to hear Perry sing, oh, my gosh, yes, beautiful voice, beautiful soul. Perry, thank you so much for joining me today on HR Latte. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rayanne. I love you, and it's I appreciate you having us on.
Love you, too. Are you going to be at SHRM?
Negatory. I will not.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll see you at HR Tech then in October, yes?
You will see me at HR Tech in October.
Awesome. Thanks again, Perry.
Okay.
Join us
bye,
tomorrow.
Honey.
We'll have another episode of HR Latte. We're going to have Stacey Harris of Sierra Cedar on. They are conducting a survey right now. We're going to talk about what she hopes and expects from those results. It has been a pleasure today to speak with Perry. Thank you so much for joining us today. All is well.